The Red Eye Radio podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Monday, look, we're not ready, folks. You guys find something to keep yourselves busy. We're sitting here in our pre-show meeting going over things. Stupid polls that mean nothing.
Well, no. There are no stories because OJ is on Twitter.
Oh, that's
so
right.
I'm just reading
breaking
some
news from the OJ on Twitter headquarters news desk.
I'm reading here from going down the responses. Doesn't matter what he talks about. I'm reading the responses. You did it. He didn't do it. You did it. He didn't do it. You did it. He didn't do it.
Yeah. All right.
It's like deja vu. Haven't I been here before?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Can't you people move on to something else? I mean, it's.
Well, I will admit it was interesting.
How many double murders do you think there are on Twitter?
1 million.
I don't know if there's a million. There might be. Who knows?
I mean, it was just I will admit I went, really? And then I went, oh, he never tried Twitter before? This is the first time? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This will be.
So I didn't look yet. I didn't even look to his page yet. Does he have? Has he posted anything with the Buffalo Bills stuff on it?
No, I don't believe he's done anything. I don't believe he's done anything. I don't think he's done any Bills stuff.
All right.
I did see that he denied that he ever had a relationship with Kris Jenner.
Okay.
And he said he has some payback.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, that one got
payback, huh?
Yeah. Like, we thought you got that already. I mean that.
Yeah, right.
Some of the posts were just brutal.
Yeah.
So coming up on the show today, all the poll craziness here. Democrats starting to make some really important campaign promises. Skater Bob O'Rourke promises to let boys compete in girls' sports.
All right.
Biden, women's soccer players should be paid as much as men.
Mm-hmm.
But is that only if the men are competing as women? See, there's so many questions that we have here.
We don't write the rule book. We just need to know.
Right.
We just need clarification.
Buttigieg says it's almost certain that we've had a gay president. Well, since he said that, are we allowed to guess?
We will.
Well, look, I didn't bring up the topic. He did.
No, he, I think we should guess.
And so are we allowed to guess here? Taylor Swift taking a task for a gay themed song. Did you hear about that one?
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to make money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not being complimented anymore.
No.
This is where we get into the identity politics and where it's gone. She's being taken to task for trying to make money off the gay agenda.
Well, no, I mean, that's where you are because, again, you're not part of that community. You're not, so you're officially, you're an oppressor. You don't belong.
Well,
again, it used to be that, okay, you need to support the idea of a parade. Then you need to march in the parade. Now you can't march in the parade because you're not one of us. We don't care if you support us. You can't support us. Get out of the group. And of course, now, no, you're just making money off of our group.
Sexual appropriation.
Yes. You're right. That's exactly what it is.
I saw that one. I went, wow, here we go.
Wasn't that a Marvin Gaye song, Sexual Appropriation? I think it was. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to Google it.
I think appropriations may be too long of a word for healing. But
yeah, right.
Appropriation may not be fit in with the healing part.
Yeah, the cadence would be a bit different, I think. Yeah. But welcome to liberalism. Welcome to modern day liberalism. What are you doing trying to be the champion? You're not the champion. I don't need you. I'm the boss. That's what it comes down to.
Another union loss, this time the UAW and Volkswagen. We'll get to that. What else we got here? What else do we, and a whole bunch of other stuff, too.
The stupid polls that mean nothing.
Well, I was thinking about this yesterday while I was doing show prep, and we were ducking another bad episode of bad weather, which was almost a repeat from last Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody was afraid of, because all of a sudden you see 65 to 70 mile an hour winds plus, and you knew when it was a couple of hours away that it was coming. And it's like, okay, where's it going? Where's it going?
Yeah,
where's
right,
it going?
Right.
And thank goodness it wasn't as bad. In fact, the funny thing is I turned on our flagship station, WBAP, right when it started hitting, and I turned it on, and there's Erica on the air talking about the possible rotation, which again was right over this area where our studios were, just like it was last week. Now, we lost, what, two air conditioning units in the storms last week that got blown off the roof, or not blown off, but
blown over.
Blown over,
moved, and we, those were brand new air conditioning units, and there have been a lot of work on the roof, in fact, and that, of course, took them over and then created more work for the roofers. But on Sunday, I'm there. Of course, it's Father's Day. My kids are all at the house. We had just had a meal, and I was retiring for the day. I was going back to finish up show prep and go to sleep. And so I'm back there, and all of a sudden I hear something. I've got my fans on, and I hear something, and I'm like, okay, that's a siren. I know that's a siren. I need to make sure. And so I turn the fan off, and then opened the door, and sure enough, we had this siren. I called to be on with the chief meteorologist at WBAP, our flagship station, Brad Barton, who does amazing coverage during those times. And I went on with him to just offer something, what I was seeing from my perspective where I was, because that rotation, as you mentioned, was right here over our studios, and I don't live far from that. I saw this. Growing up in Tornado Alley, you know what you're looking at. You know it when you see it. It was not a funnel cloud at that point. It was not, and I could see rotation. My son and I both detected the rotation, but it had not formed a funnel just yet. But there's a green tint that happens with the sky. It's odd. It's a grayish green, and so there I am, and of course. What do we do? What do you do when there's a when you know there's a thunderstorm warning? You run out. There was no tornado warning at that point. You run outside. You want to look, right? You want to see it. But we did for a few seconds, and then of course when the sirens went off, I had all of my family, grandkids, my son-in-law, my daughter-in-law, all of my kids. We were all getting into two walk-in closets, and it was. I won't say it's always scary. You always jump into emergency mode, of course, but it's you wonder, is this the one that's finally going to come over?
You know,
I've never been through a tornado that has taken off a roof or damaged my home before.
That bow in the radar right over this area.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out. I'm like, is that bad? And then they started talking about. On the front line of it, not down near where I live, but it was east of me and past me at that point.
Right.
So we really got nothing more than we got last week, last week I got nothing. This week I got tons of rain and maybe 30, 35 mile an hour winds, but you knew it was, that's one thing with social media. You immediately know.
People are
posting pictures left and right. And so I actually went out and started, went out to my front when the wind started blowing and started taking some video. And all of a sudden I'm like, what's that noise? I looked across the street and I actually have it on my phone camera. My neighbors were out dancing in their driveway in the rain.
Wow.
I'm not kidding.
All right.
And they came running over. I said, you guys, from what I hear, we're just 5 minutes away from some major winds.
Yeah,
you may
want
to go back to your house and get in the house.
Yeah.
Well, they had just moved their cars in because there was the report of hail.
Okay, yeah, right.
And so I had moved my car and I, cleaned out one side because normally I keep one car. I keep the good car in there. The old car I could care less about. But I moved with hail. They said, heavy hail. You're like, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to take the chance of that. It don't need the hassle.
Right.
So I put mine in, and then I went, I'm going to take some pictures because the wind started picking up. And I could see they pulled their cars and they came out and it started pouring and they're just standing in the rain. Then they started dancing in the driveway. And I went, what are you guys doing? And they come running across the street. Hey, we're just, I said, you know, we're about 5 minutes away from, and the winds never came. They went a little bit east.
Right. Okay.
Well, a little bit north, northeast of us. But I said, you make it back. The winds are kicking up here. And they ran back.
Right. Stop the dancing.
Stop the dancing. So that's my neighborhood.
I know there was, you know, a tree limbs and everything else, but, you look at like the damage caused last Sunday. It's been like back to back Sundays of storms.
Yes.
And, but it's that season.
Well, you know, people in Oklahoma, you know, you through Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska,
yeah.
I mean, even
yeah.
Illinois, Missouri,
right.
Tennessee, even in the South, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've had some, you know, really, really tough times over the last couple of years. I mean, so they're used to it, but you're just aware.
Right.
I mean, you're really aware because, I know last week some people were complaining, well, we weren't given proper warning. It's like, excuse me?
Yeah. The thunderstorm watch last Sunday went out early in the morning. So that watch, once that watch is there, that's what that means. Be aware that this situation, there's a likelihood or great possibility of that situation occurring, and you pay attention along the way.
And
set up your apps to give you those notifications, whatever you have to do.
But when they say severe storm warning, the thunderstorm hits, people believe that once a thunderstorm's there, that the weather service is going to say, oh, by the way, right at this particular point, right now, you're getting hit. And they might be 5 minutes behind, and people are like complaining. Well, we knew it was going to be bad, but we didn't know it was going to be 80 mile an hour winds.
Yeah.
Neither did they at that point in that specific area. It's not, you know, it's not. Look, I'm very you and I criticize for a living,
mm-hmm.
but when it comes to the weather service, sometimes the media hypes it more than the actual weather service does.
Right.
If you pay attention on social media today, when you know there's going to be bad weather, for the most part, you know when to take cover.
You know, there was a couple of months ago, there was an outlook that they had put out in the morning, and it said, look, there is I think a moderate or high risk in our area for this activity. So I was reaching out to, you know, of course, my adult kids, because they're kind of spread out in the area, and let them know, said, you know, look, they expect it to happen, you know, during this time. And so please get to where you're going. Don't be out and about in your vehicle. And then it didn't happen for whatever reason. It didn't happen. But the next day you had a bunch of people complaining that it didn't happen. There was a local meteorologist on Channel 4. Fox 4 here in Dallas was like, you know, people are complaining that heavy weather, that damaging winds and everything else never came. Who complains about that?
Not me.
I mean, you know, and it's the old dodge the proverbial bullet or whatever, but I'm okay with that. And in fact, someone wrote back to me, a friend of mine was like, man, what happened to all the storms we were supposed to get? I was all prepared for it, and I was like, and? You know, I mean, are you disappointed? And he was just joking. But there were a lot of people that were like, you know, well, they got it wrong. In that case, it's okay to get it wrong. It's all right.
Well, you know, like today, it was pretty widespread across where we are, the bad weather coming in. And so, you know, I mean, it's almost like, okay, I'm under this warning alert. This is what I'm thinking. And then you're paying attention. I mean, I'm looking on my phone. I've got my computer on and my phone on. I'm looking at two different radars.
Right.
And I'm, because you have to do it. It's like, well, I'm paying to, no, you got to do your own work. You can do your own work yourself. But even the radar is a couple minutes behind.
Yeah.
And so you're on social media, you know, you're communicating with, I was communicating with somebody who lives northwest of me, who would get hit first, you know, and what's going on. And for a couple of minutes there was a little bit of concern. It's like, oh boy, are we really 5 minutes away, you know, from some extremely high winds? But you got to pay attention.
Yes, right.
You know, you have to pay, you've got to realize that, you know, 30 years ago, we had no idea it was going to hit.
Right.
It hit. If we saw it, it hit. And, well, you know, we can't give you 20 minutes warning. Well, I'm happy if I'm able to figure out and get a minute's warning, and then I can hide somewhere.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
That's what I expect, but it's weather.
Yeah, right.
It's not a constant.
Nope. And you don't know in that situation, especially, as you mentioned, you could see the hook echo on radar.
Yes.
You know, and where it was.
But you're never sure exactly how bad it is. And
right.
Even
right.
if there's rotation, you're not sure.
That's
the rotation
exactly.
is down near the ground. You're not, the meteorologists at times aren't sure.
Because the rain was so heavy during that time, it was hard. It would be very difficult for some to see it if there were a funnel cloud, or if a funnel cloud, you know, we're reaching the ground, it could be difficult to see it. It could be masked by that rain. Now, it was daylight. It was the afternoon. And so it's easier to see. But the point is that heed the warning. Go through it. Make sure that you're paying attention along the way. I mean, it's common sense. Self-preservation.
Yeah.
Don't sit and wait for your roof to be ripped off and go and then complain you weren't warned. Today's technology is in place to do that. Sometimes it fails. That's rare these days.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. So I was busy yesterday trying to pay attention to the weather, and going through all of these different poll stories. And there's a number of poll stories out there. There's the polls that have come out here in the last day or two. There's the leaking of the internal polls from March, which I went, really, March? They're making a deal out of something from March? Okay. But there's also the reality, and as we have said before, we believe you should always run as an underdog.
Sure.
No matter what the poll says, you run as an underdog.
Mm-hmm. Assume that you're 20 points right. behind in every poll.
I will say this. When the White House came out and said, yes, but the polls we show show the president ahead based on the issues, I went, ooh.
Oh, no. You don't want to go there. You need to talk to Eric and Gary about that.
Yeah, I mean, Romney lost. In that, the White House did admit, though, I mean, the March polling was correct, that he was that he was behind. They didn't deny that at all. And the polls came out showing the primaries at this time back in 2015, where Trump had 1%.
1%, right?
He hadn't announced yet at that time, though, had he?
I don't believe he had announced. Now that's right. A good point. Yes,
right. But he was one. So we'll analyze all this coming up here in just a moment. But it was actually fun, really meaningless this far out.
Yeah,
because at the same time, I'm reading how the president's getting ready for his reelection
right.
and the money that they have and how organized they are compared to anywhere near organized as they were for any time in the campaign back in 2016, that now they have an organization and they're ready to go.
And again, the primary versus the general election for the left is very different now. And I think it'll be different in terms of turnout. I could be wrong, but I think there's a good theory behind that. We'll talk more about that. For Travel Centers of America, here's your forecast.
A beautiful temperature landscape across the country as we enter the last week of spring 2019. We won't see the real hot weather in the west now. It'll get up to the 110s down in places like New Mexico and Arizona, the desert southwest of Southern California. But by and large, the west will see more seasonably mild temperatures today. A scattering of 90s extend from the Tennessee Valley into the deep south. Portions of southern Texas will also reach the double digits. For the most part, the West Central Plains on through the Midwest and up through the Northeast will be in the mid-70s to mid-80s for daytime highs today. Heavy showers will persist in the Central Plains from Oklahoma and Kansas into Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, then on up through PA. Clear on 95 from the Carolinas to Florida. I-5 in the West will be rain-free. The National Forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
old white conservatives. Feel free to heckle them.
Hey.
Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
Just stop and it. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. You know, sometimes you just wonder why the poll craziness hits, and I really wonder, because I don't know if you sensed it at all. We haven't even had this conversation yet. First time we're having here is on the air. We didn't even get it. We don't have time in our, unless our pre-show meeting is a week long, we don't have enough time anymore in our pre-show meeting to discuss what we're actually going to do in the show, because there's so much. But I sensed that impeachment just died over the last couple of days.
No, that's a great point. I forget what the story was on Friday, but it hit me. I thought, and it was later Friday. I went to go see my folks, and it was Friday evening, and I was sitting there just kind of going through some stories very quickly on my phone, and I thought, where's impeachment? Where is impeachment right now? And it had gone away. I know that Nadler will continue the show.
Yes.
I know that will be one of those, it will be just about the show, as Kimberly Strassel wrote in the Wall Street Journal on May 9th. But at the end of it, you're not going to go anywhere. It's not going to go anywhere. A couple of things. We're, getting to, the last, weeks of decisions at the Supreme Court later today.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what will come down?
Yep.
There could be a number of them, but it's, I think there are 24, if I remember correctly, a couple of dozen cases right now, that we're waiting on. And again, today is Monday is decision day. So there's that, but there, you go back to, what was it? The hearing with, what's his name from,
Dean
from Watergate.
That was
really, you got a guy from Watergate. But that on that day there was breaking news, the helicopter crash in New York, and that didn't go anywhere. I don't think it would have gone anywhere without the other breaking news. I think it would have. I don't it, because people really well,
it
don't
was,
care.
It was dumb,
right?
And, I mean, it was to bring in John Dean was such an obvious jump the shark move.
Yeah.
And when you have Jim Jordan saying, look, your major witnesses so far have been Michael Cohen, a felon, and John Dean, a felon.
Yes.
But here's, if you're still somebody who is riding the line, or you're a Democrat out there that has any type of open mind, if you want to know why the Democrats aren't serious on impeachment or even Russian collusion or obstruction of justice, it's easy to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
It's because why aren't the Democrats screaming every single day for Mueller to testify?
Right.
How come Gerald Nadler isn't out getting Brennan and Comey to testify?
Right.
Why aren't they out with the... Because remember, the Republicans...
That's a great point. Yeah.
The Republicans had their chance.
Right.
But the greatest evidence that you have of possible obstruction of justice and of collusion, which they're still going with the collusion thing.
You
still got Democrats going with the collusion.
Right.
If you really believe collusion or obstruction of justice... You would subpoena Comey.
Mm-hmm.
You would subpoena Mueller. You'd say you'd be screaming to do it. You'd want Brennan. You'd want Clapper. You'd go for Peter Strzok because you don't believe that he was playing politics.
Right. Yep.
All the people that were involved in it that had the best evidence and produced supposedly the best evidence of Trump committing collusion and Comey, who was what? The screaming for obstruction of justice still today. You can hear from them firsthand and refresh the American public that Trump is a criminal. Why don't you do it?
It's a great point. You've got all of those who could testify with that have intimate knowledge about the investigation, which you believe was on the up and up, which you believe was properly predicated and legitimate. You've got all of these people that would support that and have credibility beyond, because they were directly involved in the investigation. Why would you not be bringing them to remake the case? Because what are they trying to do effectively? What they're trying to do is redo on the Mueller report. What they're trying to do is, well, Mueller didn't get it done for us. Now we need to make the case for the American people to move toward impeachment. So let's fill in the gaps where Mueller did not go. Let's bring the people back, reconstruct essentially our own version of the Mueller investigation.
But you can't do it unless you bring these people in. But they don't want to bring the witnesses in because they know.
Yes.
They're not stupid. They right. know these aren't good. These aren't good witnesses. So what do they do? Look, to bring John Dean in is almost like is I thought about this over the weekend because you and I have always brought this up, that during the Obama administration, they always talked about climate change and race. The worst two problems were climate change and race, climate change and race, climate change and race. And we actually came to the conclusion that the Democrats said, let's discuss something that America doesn't care about. And if we're really passionate about something that America doesn't really believe is a problem, at least it won't hurt us in the polling.
Right.
Well,
I
really believe that John Dean was like, well, we got nothing else. Let's bring John Dean in. That way we keep the chatterbox going. Mm-hmm. We're still chatting about it, but we're bringing in John Dean, who's got nothing to do with anything.
Right. Right.
In this whatsoever, right. except for the fact that he was in Watergate, and somehow we'll try to make this stretch that this is as bad or worse as Watergate. Well, actually, it was, but not in the way that they're trying to promote it to the American public.
Mm-hmm.
But so when I saw the John Dean one, that was such you and I remember when I first saw the story and I went, I'm thinking that there must have been a John Dean that served. And I'm like, did I not know that there was a John Dean that served with the president? Because the president seems to be, you know, to be really. On social media going after the fact that they're going to be interviewing John Dean. I'm like, who is this guy and why doesn't he claim executive privilege? Because I never thought it would be John Dean from Watergate. I thought it would be another John Dean that I didn't know about.
Right.
Who happened to share the same name. And when I saw it, I went, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You're really going to do this? You are jumping this. You are looking ridiculous when you do. And so after that, it's been very, very quiet. But if that's how you know, if you were really concerned that you thought the president colluded or committed obstruction of justice, the number one person you'd call in would be Comey.
Yes.
Then you would call in Mueller.
Yep.
And you would insist, you'd be screaming that they testify. The reason that the Democrats don't do that is because they don't want the major principles that back their side, they don't want them to testify.
No.
They don't believe that they will be credible. And Mueller himself, they're afraid will be torn apart by the Republicans.
Well, and I think that's it. They know that there is no way for that to really play out. I think they if you have Brennan come in, if you have Comey come in and testify, the Republicans would tear both of them down. Mm-hmm. Mueller, the same thing. Mueller even more so because all of the flaws in the report and the investigation and where he didn't go. Comey is, I think, would think that he's winning because he seems to think he's winning now.
Oh, my God, that tweet over the weekend was just the most
bizarre. He seems
it's
to think
like he's delusional.
He really is delusional. There is just, sorry, but there's something wrong with him.
I know.
There's just, if I were standing there in front of him, that's exactly, I would just say it. If he were sitting in front of me testifying, I would just say, there's something wrong with you.
And not in an, it's not extreme rhetoric. It's just really, you don't think, and by the way, everything that we've just said here about that, if you're a Democrat, and you really believe that Trump committed collusion or obstruction of justice, if you've got an investigator's mind, and you really believe that Trump did it, that he committed obstruction of justice, Comey would be the first person you'd want to come back and retestify again.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't. And you'd want to bring Mueller in, and you would be demanding, Democrats would be screaming to bring Mueller and Comey back in because that's their best witnesses, and that's where the best evidence supposedly is. Yet they're not doing it. They bring in John Dean from Watergate. It shows you they're not serious. It shows you, as Kimberly Strassel wrote in the Wall Street Journal in early May, that they just want to do a show But I really, the other thing is I believe that they're not demonizing Mueller because I think the polling, the internal polling, whatever they've done, get back to the internal polling, but focus groups, whatever, show that if they try to make Mueller, you know, part of, because the only thing you could do, because Democrats aren't going to get the answers they want from Mueller.
Right.
So you'd have to demonize Mueller and say Mueller is just a pawn of Trump. Mm-hmm. Then Mueller is a pawn of Trump.
Right.
I think they realized at that point they'd be jumping the shark too, and the public wouldn't buy that they'd lose all credibility if they did that.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So they're just trying to find a way to either have him. I think they would prefer him not to testify at all because it will leak. But I do think that if he does testify, it will only be behind closed doors. But you notice that push. There doesn't seem to be the outrage that he must testify. It just doesn't exist. Why doesn't it exist? Because they know where this is going.
Yeah, they do.
And they know who the players are.
They do. Yeah. It's and it is. It's a distraction. They're hoping to get. I think they were hoping. I don't know if they're still hoping because, as you mentioned, it seems to have died down. Again, I'm sure the Nadler thing will come back, but I don't know that it has any energy anymore. It just seems monotonous. It seems pointless, as you mentioned. With John Dean jumping the shark, it really, that's the best way to put it, too. So they've gone beyond, and I don't think they're going to get the attention of people in terms of enough support for an impeachment move. I could be wrong on that. I just don't see it right now. But the idea would be to get ahead of any IG report, get ahead of any investigation from Durham or from the Attorney General or both, and any action that happens after those investigations as a result of those investigations.
I mean, this is the John Dean was Fonzie jumping the shark, Fonzie with Pinky Tuscadero in the, remember they were in the, what do you call it, the collision cars?
Yes, right.
I mean, this is Fonzie doing the most, this is Fonzie in the Weezer video. Yeah. I mean, this is jumping the Weezer. I mean, it's just... It was just so completely bizarre.
You kids are jumping the Weezer. Oh my gosh, that's greatness.
Maybe this is what we'll call it now. Instead of jumping the shark, we come up with a new one now. Jumping the Weezer.
Jerkins Pooey. Go back and listen to the Friday show if you missed it. Go back and listen to the podcast, please.
Could you imagine somebody who would catch that? What we were doing last week in the middle of it.
Yeah,
if they caught that,
right.
and we're talking about we were talking about if Trump did what Hillary did, and so we changed the name of Perkins Cooey.
Yeah.
And we were doing that on a fly, and we came up with Jerkins Pooey.
Jerkins Pooey. Cold Fusion ABC. You know. Seamus Steele.
So I was wondering whether some people, and I don't know, it just seemed to me, and again, it's wrong to make this assumption and include everybody in it, but it's almost as if we went from impeachment to, okay, forget about impeachment. Trump's going to lose. The polls are horrible.
Yeah, right.
It almost seemed, and so we'll get to the whole polling thing here coming up, but it seemed to be a shift.
Yes.
That everybody jumped behind that, okay, impeachment, collusion, obstruction of justice. Okay, that moves out to the side. Trump's going to lose in 2020. All the polls, the internal polls for March, the polls now. He's done. It's over.
Yeah, right. Yeah, election's over.
Oh,
stay at home. Quit.
We moved really quickly, didn't we?
By the way, they don't realize you're motivating his base.
It's 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Red Eye Radio, he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. A lot of people caught up in all the polls this weekend, and we'll get to the specifically coming up, but well, in more of the minutia, the details of it following the top of the hour. But everybody paying attention to the polling here, and Trump is down, and the Fox News poll out there that shows that Trump is down, and then the polling, internal polling for March, and Trump firing the pollsters because of the leak, and the campaign complaining that they're ancient. By the way, that's accurate. A poll in March is ancient.
Yeah, right.
But,
yeah.
But the stories that really got to me that I believe are probably more accurate or more applicable to be discussing is, and get ready for this, I agree with Ocasio-Cortez.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever said that before, but where she warns Democrats about the real risk of the president's reelection and the political article about the Trump campaign and how organized they are, how much money they are have, how they are now, you know, understanding how much you're using the internet. Anybody who comes into a rally,
they know
who they are now.
Yes.
They've got their email. They've got fundraising. They have an organization together.
Reince Priebus was a big part of that at the RNC the last time. They had really organized. And by the way, they learned a lot of that organization and boots on the ground stuff from the Obama campaigns in 2008 and 2012. And they were very good at it in 2016 and probably a lot better now.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. Coming up here in just a little bit, we'll get to those the polling chaos that happened over the weekend. Plus, you see Target had some technical problems worldwide.
Yeah.
Everything was down. What I saw on social media was it Saturday afternoon? Yeah. Everything was down.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I was getting my car washed and I was going to head over there. And it's like, and I saw it on social media, I was washing my car, everything down at Target.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a register outage.
Yes.
So, you know, when a small business loses power. I was at a hotel back in March in Louisville, and they lost power, and I was at just this little kiosk thing they have where you can get water and a piece of fruit, whatever. And I was on my way to the trade show, the Mid-America show across the street, and she was like, well, it's going to take me a second because I've got to, you know, do all this by hand. She's very, very nice and very good at what she was doing. But imagine that now at a superstore like a Target. All across the country, that happening. I don't know what you do. I don't know what the solution is. Because you're having to, if you can't do it by hand, how do you do it? And how do you staff something like that?
It 2 hours.
Right.
Outage was down for 2 hours. You think about that and it's, you know, if you're in retail, it's like, okay, automation's great until it goes down. And if all the systems are interconnected and everything goes down, that's not permissible. I mean, wouldn't that be the first thing you'd be in a boardroom saying, look, I understand this is where we have to go.
Right.
I understand that the technology is where we have to go and scanning's where we're going to have to go. I mean, look, even if you have not even the self-service lines, but the other lines, somebody's in there. Remember, we are old enough to remember where every price was actually punched into the cash register.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Remember how long
I worked to register when I was in high school. I worked it for a couple of years. Yeah.
Remember how long that took?
Yeah.
Now it's beep 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 beep.
You're scanning everything. Yeah.
Even the cashier is scanning, and so. But when it all goes down and you have no backup system, look. I'm in the retail business. I was in the retail business at one point, selling donuts. But if you're in the retail business, you can't allow that to happen ever.
No.
Not for 2 hours. You can't.
Yeah. And it was. They're blaming some kind of maintenance issue in their, again, their registers, and it was nationwide. On Sunday, they were still having, on a smaller scale, they were still having problems processing credit cards at some of the locations. You're right. If you're in the boardroom, this can't happen. There has to be a backup. And how do you get to, you know, again, if you're doing maintenance and there is that, frankly, I'll say this, 90 minutes to 2 hours, that's fairly impressive that they got it back, but I wonder what the impact is, of even a 2 hours, gap, essentially, in purchasing across the grid of the Target
system. On the Saturday before Father's Day.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
The afternoon.
Yep.
When people are gathering supplies, because the meme yesterday was, oh, all the restaurants are crowded for Mother's Day. How come Dad has to barbecue on Father's Day?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
But there's some truth to it. Dad wants to barbecue, and so there's a ton of people. I took a bike ride yesterday afternoon, and so I'm driving around my neighborhood. I did about 5-6 miles, and I was like, and it was a lot of wind out there. But before the storms came, and I went, okay, I'm done. And these son of a. Because all I did was smell grills. I smelled every food known to mankind. Yeah, but that's the whole point. Right, you're sitting there and you're planning it, and people are in the stores. And I don't know, in an average store on a day like that, you might have 300 people in the store. Well, that's a significant, for any, you know, 300, 500 people over a two-hour period, maybe 1,000. I don't know. But that's a significant number of people to inconvenience. And like I said, if I'm in the boardroom, I'm like, how do we have redundant systems where this doesn't happen?
Right.
And what does it cost us? Because you have to, when something like this happens, as to what it would cost us to put in a redundant, some type of redundant system. And I don't know what that would be. I don't know. I look at that and I'm just like, this, when we were simple technology, this never happened.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Because we weren't all interconnected. How do we do this so this doesn't happen again?
Yeah, it's hard to set up when you have, like, they were saying the Sunday issues at Target were not related to Saturday. Okay, but you have back-to-back problems. That, to me, actually spells a bigger problem. Okay.
My local one has credit card issues all the time.
All right.
I have to say that.
And I
love the people there.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, the people that work there are always nice to me. I mean, it's that must be frustrating for them, but the... If that's the case, then you're going to have to revamp it completely, because what people want today is the ability, first of all, in the superstores especially, to be able to go in, you know, get everything under one roof, get out and get it home. In the age of e-commerce, where you can get groceries delivered now, you can get anything delivered in major cities, you can get it delivered, some things, same day from Amazon, you can't afford this, because it becomes a bigger issue, a bigger hassle to walk into your brick and mortar. Now, Target does e-commerce, but they don't do Amazon e-commerce. And you have to fix a problem like this to make sure it can never happen again. I don't know about that redundancy. I'm with you. I don't know how you put it in place, though, because you're having to essentially build a second system that would rarely be used.
Yep.
And that's going to be very costly. At the very least, you have some kind of backup in place so that this doesn't create a hassle.
Look, out of all the 20 registers that I have there, I have three that can be independent.
Yeah.
You know, that they have, right. not everyone, but I have three, so I can at least move people through some of the lines. They may be in line for 40 minutes, but we can move them through.
Yeah, right.
But if you're waiting 2 hours, you got people that said screw it, and they left their carts there and they walked out disgusted.
Yeah,
and that's what I look at that point. How do you do it, or how do you have a manual system that you can do it, where you've got, you know, you've got the credit card, what do you call it, the credit card
processor, right.
That isn't interconnected. That's right. At customer service or somewhere. I don't know, but because I'm not an expert on this, but all I know is what's acceptable and what's not acceptable
in
the retail business, and that's not acceptable. It's not.
Right.
It is. All right, let's head to you. We were talking about a ton of stuff here in the first hour. We go to Dwayne in Cleveland, Ohio, on political rhetoric. Dwayne, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
All right, my brother. Thank you. Hey, listen, I'm sitting here listening to the last thing you were talking about, and I'm not a big fan of conspiracies or something, right? but you better learn how to pay attention to test runs, okay? Because if you recall, was it last year, was it China who shut off their entire internet system?
Who shut off their system?
China. I think somewhere in China they turned off their internet because it was some, you know, I guess they were in an attempt to control the rhetoric or their rhetoric, whatever it was.
Yeah,
anyway,
I mean,
down their internet.
Right. There are countries that do control their internet heavily, yes, on a regular basis.
Okay,
yes.
Right. And look what's happening to us right here, okay? I mean, like I said, I'm not into conspiracy, but think about this for a minute, okay? What happened with Target is the same thing that happened to, it was another large organization, a big distributor company, sometime last year that their system went down.
No, if it's a hacking, we know.
No, it's not hacking. Oh, no. You made a statement about them needing to go into the boardroom, right? And something is...
Okay, you're... By the way, I appreciate your call, but you're all over the place because what you called for...
No, I was only just touching on that one subject.
Right. You're confusing... You're somehow confusing what you wanted to talk about with Target. One has nothing to do with the other.
No.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to have your thoughts together when you call. We appreciate it, but... You called. He called initially to talk about the political rhetoric of both parties isn't getting us anywhere, and so that's why when he started talking about political rhetoric and Target, and he just wasn't making sense. So we do appreciate your call, but you've got to have
no major
thoughts.
Retailer, especially one the size of Target, would put this into place on purpose for any reason,
right? I'll answer your original question, which he made clear when he talked to Alan, and that was the political rhetoric. That's what he wanted to talk about. So we'll answer the question that the political rhetoric between the two parties is making it so we get nothing done. Well, political rhetoric is a given. Yep. You've had political rhetoric from the beginning of the United States of America. There has been political rhetoric. Mm-hmm. It's the cost of doing business. Now, does stuff get done? Yeah, Eric and I talk about the stuff that gets done all the time that hurts us.
Yes. Right.
But no, things still get done in this country. Political rhetoric, and I just want to address that quickly because we always get the political rhetoric between... No, the political rhetoric is a given. That's a cost of doing business in a republic, in a democracy. And when I say democracy, that's the umbrella of democracy, which includes a constitutional republic that we are.
Yeah. And that's going to continue.
Yes. So I just wanted to address that because we get that every once in a while, that the political rhetoric makes it so nothing gets done. Sometimes that's good.
Sure.
Sometimes gridlock is really good.
If they get nothing done, I'm good with that. That means they're not spending a ton of money. But beyond that, we get through the rhetoric, we get through the lies, and we get down to the heart of the issues on this program. That will always be the case, and people are smart enough to do that. If they want to engage in the rhetoric, that's on them. If they don't want to engage on based on the ideas and do something about it, that's also on them.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that the caller from his initial point, if he's talking about the political rhetoric of everything that was going on with all the polling and all the spin that's going on, and that's why we're going to talk about that here in a little bit and actually break it down as to what's important. So, yeah, we know political rhetoric's out there, and so we try to cut through it, but political rhetoric is a given. To sit there and say political rhetoric is bad, well, yeah.
If you don't like it, ignore it.
Yeah, social media can be bad, too. It can be good, too, but it's the reality. Free speech can slow things down. Free speech is all part of political rhetoric.
Yep.
People throw out the stuff that they believe.
Yep.
So that's just political rhetoric is a given.
Whatever you don't appreciate, you don't have to pay attention to.
Right.
Because it is just rhetoric and you don't have to engage in it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on trip planning. Do you realize how much your truck idles during a year? A truck can go through about a gallon of fuel per hour of idling. Studies have shown that long-haul tractor trailers idle about 1,830 hours a year. That's a lot of fuel use. But drivers know idling is essential to regulate the cab for sleeping. consider using an auxiliary power unit to increase driver comfort and reduce idle time. Remember that some jurisdictions around the country have regulations that limit trucks' idling time. Fines can reach into the thousands of dollars. Before heading out on your trip, keep an updated list of state and local idling regulations handy in your cab. There are more than 65 of them right now, and it's challenging to know them all. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Steve in Saginaw, Texas. We were talking about where the Democrats are going. It seemed like the polling and impeachment has been dropped. Steve, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome.
Yeah, I want to make three quick points. One, the thing you were talking about on Happy Days is called the Malachi Crunch. Two,
yes. Thank you, Steve. Oh my God.
I mean, you gave me a ton of memories. Obviously, I have too much time for Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, yes.
With Target, you know, this thing that just recently happened, it's going to cost them even more money in the future because no one will trust the ability to prevent a data breach. And to the point of what you were talking about, and I appreciate the patience with your call screener with me, why can't the Republicans come out and just kind of play devil's advocate with Nadler and the Democrat Party going, you know what, you're right. Tell you what, well, let's just get all these people up here, have them testify in front of Congress. Let's invite them. They say they have all this information. Let's share it with the public.
Oh, yeah.
Let them embarrass themselves.
I agree with you.
For the last 2.5 years.
It's a great idea, Steve. I mean, we should see that from Republican leadership in the House. They should be on that and say, no, you're right, you're right. Let's bring all the players together, those with intimate knowledge of the investigation itself, that had key roles, and certainly they can bring clarity to this situation.
You know,
I think it's a great idea.
I will say this. One of the disadvantages in with Sarah Huckabee Sanders not being out there in the public, and thanks, Steve, because that's a great point that you brought up, especially with the Malachi brothers. But the fact is, you do need a consistent, coherent message coming from the White House between now and 2020.
Yeah.
And if you're not always going to get it from the president, because look, the president over the weekend had to back off on his comments that he made last week.
Mm-hmm.
He had to back off, and it doesn't do the president any good to say something then back off a few days later.
Right.
Even if it's something that, you know, it was a hypothetical, you know, on the, if a foreign source came to him. And the White House over the weekend had made it clear Friday and Saturday, no, the president would not do it. And the president said, no, I would not do it. I'd immediately report it to the FBI. Well, understand, even when you're kidding or being snarky or being a troll, that the Democrats can effectively use it against you.
Right.
And one of the challenges the president has, I believe, is that he can't lose. He's got to, I think, looking from afar, I think you and I agree with this. You don't eliminate the trolling because he can do effective trolling at times, but you have to have a more coherent and consistent message and don't get off track. Like the last caller said, and we had said earlier that the Democrats aren't serious because they'd be calling Comey, they'd be calling Brennan, they'd be calling Clapper, they'd be screaming for Mueller to do it. And there needs to be somebody effectively in the White House talking for the president saying, you know how we know they're bluffing? Because they don't call all these people.
Right.
Have the White House, not just Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows, call them all out because they're Congress people.
Mm-hmm.
People pay attention when you have an effective communicator in the White House. Now, maybe you don't do it in the same fashion as the daily press conference. It doesn't mean you're not out there stating it because people pay attention. And so it's extremely important that the president pick an effective communicator now as his spokesperson, as a White House spokesperson going between now and 2020. It's absolutely, I think, imperative
right
that they do that.
Find someone who was as fearless as Sarah Huckabee Sanders, as effective as Ben Shapiro, our colleague in what he does, and also can set that track for you, can set that path for you.
You can't let your misstatements or the media set the narrative.
Right.
You have the ability in the bully pulpit to set a significant portion of the narrative. Do it.
There was the the saying during the campaign in 2016, let Donald be Donald. You can still do that, but you need to have it a more controlled, concise, and forward-moving message on everything, on all fronts. And control that messaging, have it be consistent, and be very deliberate about it, and it will win for you.
If they're not off the rails, they're off on a tangent. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
Yes.
All right, that's true.
Now, you know the worst thing about the weekend, though?
What?
I couldn't watch the last round of the golf.
Oh, because there was breaking news on the weather?
No, because they played it on the West Coast. So the Central Time, the players didn't tee off until after 4 o'clock.
Oh, I never considered that.
Yeah, they played.
So it was late. You had to go to bed.
They played at Pebble Beach. Yeah, so I had to go to sleep. And I'm like, so I really didn't get excited about it much because I knew I couldn't watch the last round.
The U.S. Open.
The U.S. Open,
for those
that
don't follow golf.
The U.S. Open golf championship. And so that was a bummer.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I'll get over it. And it's not the same watching it the next day.
You have
to watch the actual tension of it.
And especially, I would think the final round Sunday, Sunday's the day. That's the day because, Sunday is a work day for us. And I know you'd be sitting there with your laptop doing show prep at the same time. But
yes,
it also has that more relaxed feel. And it's real time.
Things are happening
right there.
And Gary Woodland winning it, getting his first major, which was interesting. I will tell you this though. Pebble Beach is a different place to, you're watching it. And you're like, okay, it's just not a regular golf course because it's Pebble Beach. Yesterday was Saturday and I actually took a picture of it. I'm watching TV and I took a picture of it and posted it online. Phil hits this monstrous drive, but it wasn't the drive. It's where it ended up. And he's sitting there and you sit there and you see where he's going to do it and the camera's back and you can see the entire beach there on the Monterey Peninsula. And he's getting ready to hit the golf ball from this little patch of green surrounded by basically on one side this huge beach which goes off into the distance. And I'm like, this isn't a normal golf course. And I was supposed to play it last year. And the guy who wanted us to go ended up doing something stupid. And so he did that instead of going to Pebble Beach. He got married. And so we were, but he was his plan. He goes, hey, you ready to go? And we're supposed to be last year. He goes, you ready to go? And I go, yeah, I'll go. If you can somehow I'll fit it in. Mm. And I think of the time they were going to fit it in is one of the times we were taking vacation so I could do it.
Okay.
And it was like, we were going to fly into Reno and then drive from Reno there, rent a car and drive from Reno there because his son lives there. In Reno, so we're going to pick up the son. They were going to drive us right there, and we had it all ready. And it's like $500 to play it.
Right? Wow. Wow.
But it's like you could care less what you shoot. It's just you want to be there.
Yeah, it's the experience.
Yeah,
sure.
Want to be there at Monterey. But yeah. So don't know if I'll ever do it. But what the heck? I get to do this show, and I get to mouth off every night. So that's almost as good. As we talk about the poll chaos from this past weekend, because that's all it was. First, it was, it's been leaked. It's been leaked. The March polling. The president beaten by everybody, including Pat Paulson. And for those of you who don't know, Pat Paulson in the 1960s and 1970s was a fake candidate for president of the United States. Maybe even to the 80s, too. I can't remember. And it was like, and the president came out and go, these polls are ancient. And these were internal polls that were apparently done. Now, the new news is that the White House has apparently fired some of these pollsters because they believe that's where the leak came from, that they leaked this. Here's the number one thing. Before we get calls on polls, well, none of the polls are accurate. Yeah, they are. Otherwise, they wouldn't do internal polling.
Right.
They wouldn't pay money to do internal polling unless they believe that they were accurate at some particular point. But polls are a snapshot of that particular day and how you ask the question.
That's the difference.
Right.
That's what people often don't consider. We're not even to the first debate yet for the Democrats, so you have to take everything and put it in the proper context. The landscape will change dramatically between now and November 3rd of next year.
Tremendously. So, the White House came out and said they were ancient polls. They were correct. They are March polls before the Mueller report are ancient polls. But Trump's numbers haven't swung 20 points.
Right.
Okay. Let's be honest. They haven't swung 20 points. But the Democrats haven't started the campaign, and neither has really the president. I look at two things. Ocasio-Cortez saying, uh-oh, you got to understand, this guy's strong, and she's worried about the field of Democrats. Mm. And I went, I agree with her. Because the polls really, I'm not saying they're not accurate. They're meaningless.
Yeah,
right,
sure.
Now, because you haven't taken into account a campaign over the next year and a half, which probably has a little bit to do with it.
Yeah,
maybe just a little bit to do with it. The candidates right now are more hypothetical than reality.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is the reality. People have dealt with him. And so, you know, they've dealt with him over the last 2 years. So the opinions are very definitive. Everything else is a hypothetical matchup. So we've looked at these for the longest time and said hypothetical matchups don't mean anything. We have talked about the fact that when Biden hadn't announced he was running, he was still in the lead. But when he announced, his poll numbers went up a lot.
Sure.
Why? Because he became a real candidate. Now the poll numbers are coming back down again. Even with Democrats, the polls have what changed? 10 points in just the last month.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because now you're being vetted by your own by your own party. Trump's been vetted.
Yep.
Trump's been completely vetted. Everybody has an opinion one way or another on him based on the reality of him being president. So that being said, the president was correct when he said those polls are ancient. But does the president still have challenges? Of course he does. You should always run an election, whether you're the incumbent or whether you're the challenger, as if you're the underdog, as if you're behind 10 points. That's how we have always felt that's how you run a campaign.
Yeah, and that's something that I think you assume. There are a couple of things. This is why we go back to the tariff thing. Get those off the table. Let's quit being stupid about it. Quit using them as, like, you've got them as a, you know, a utility knife, you know, and you're the maintenance guy, you know, and walking around with your utility knife. Tariffs, don't do that. You see some of the polls right now, and again, you have to assume they're true. You have to assume they'll hold, and that it would even get worse,
right,
in the Farm Belt.
Right. That's how you should run a campaign, is that these poll numbers, we can't let them get any worse. Mm-hmm. We have to get them better.
Right.
And the one thing that bothered me was when the White House came out and stated, yeah, but when you look at Democrats and you look at the issues, the president wins on the issues, right, in every single state.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't matter.
No.
As we have said, this president probably has the easiest job, and that can be the toughest job for Republicans. Because remember, when Romney lost to Obama, the vast majority of Americans agreed with Romney on the issues. He lost.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter whether they agree with you. And look, the Democrats on the issues, they disagree with completely. And so I win. No, because Trump's job is to convince America that already agrees with him that he is the person to implement those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, he hasn't. And that should be the goal of the particular of the campaign. Trump has to stop. I don't believe he can, because he hasn't been able to. He's got to stop what he did last week, where he did an interview, and when he does an interview, and I don't know why he's doing an interview with the mainstream media. It makes no sense to me. You don't need to market that way.
Right.
I don't know why, unless it's he feels it's a challenge to him. But when he comes out and says, oh, sure, I talked to, you know, now we viewed it as trolling, and we said, wait, it's a great opportunity. From our point of view, it's a great opportunity to have that debate. But the White House had to reverse that point of view and say, no, the president would report. Well, don't put yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
Don't put yourself in a situation where you have to reverse a couple days later what you said, when it's no big deal of a question to answer.
Right. It's a hypothetical.
Because the fact that the president had to reverse himself showed that the focus groups and the polling they were doing showed the people of this country didn't like it, and independents didn't like what the president said, and that's who you're trying to win. And so that's why they reverse themselves. The president has to stop saying something or doing something and then reversing himself just a few days later.
Right.
It will eventually come and bite you in the butt, political butt.
Well, this is what the Democrats do time and time again. How many times do we see a liberal, one liberal or the other, have to reverse what they're doing and saying? I mean, it happens again and again and again. And
you don't wish to be a liberal.
Right.
And that's why
we're not talking about, like, on core issues like the visa thing back in 2016 going back and forth. You know, we're talking about, which can be damaging depending on the nature of that core issue. But we're talking about something that was a hypothetical. It deserved zero answer. You're making up a hypo. Your answer should be, you know what, you guys in your hypothetical, it proves that you guys are capable of nothing but fake news.
Right. Exactly. Perfect answer. You still win with your P1.
Yep.
But you don't have to reverse anything that you've said.
Right. Now you're just asking me a question about fake news of something that's never happened. And it's ridiculous.
Right.
So thank you for proving me right again on fake news.
Right. And if you wish to look at it, I suggest you look at how the DNC and the Hillary campaign paid a foreign spy to get propaganda and disinformation from the Kremlin. Don't ask me about something that I've been cleared of completely and was fake news from you people.
Right.
That's how you answer that question.
Right.
Discipline in messaging is so critically important.
I would break it down. Listen, what's behind that question? What's behind that question is the fact that you guys know nothing happened. You guys know that I'm innocent. And now you're trying to see if it happened, if it actually something happened, what I would do about it. That's fake news, and it's pathetic. Right.
And instead of talking about the issue of the Democrats actually colluding with the Russians through Christopher Steele and getting disinformation, you choose to ask me a hypothetical instead of looking at reality.
Yes.
It's so easy.
Right. You own it. You own it. And the media loses again.
And when you read the political article that came out about the White House or the campaign and how organized they are this time, as opposed to 2016.
Right.
And not that Ryan Priebus didn't do a good job there, but they said that it's so much much well organized. Anybody that goes into a rally, I mean, they know who every person is. They know what their email is. Mm-hmm. They know who they are.
Right.
They which means they can contact them for fundraising. They can contact them for support. They are building a huge campaign infrastructure, which they weren't able to do last time, and they are well prepared. So when you have that, you've got everything in place. Don't let the stupid, idiotic things that are a no-brainer, where you can destroy the Democrats, don't let the media come back and put it on yourself. Remember, you control the narrative. Yep. The president controls the narrative. Whatever he says is what they cover. Challenge them.
Yes. Throw it back at them.
Right. Throw it right back at them. Say you're bringing up a hypothetical, which is, again, looking for fake news.
Yep.
I didn't do a dang thing. Mueller cleared me on collusion. It was the Democrats that colluded with the Russians through Christopher Steele and paying for information from the Russians, which they then used to an attempt to destroy my campaign.
Right.
And let Stephanopoulos argue that back.
Right. Because if you're asking that question, that means you just want it to be true. You know it's not true. You're just, and now you're just making it up. That's what a hypothetical question is in this case. It's just making it up. Yeah, but what if it did happen? What would you do about
it? I'm sorry, that interview wasn't with Stepanopoulos.
Right, it was another interview. It's regardless of who it's with.
Right.
That question comes from this need to condemn him of something that never happened.
You know, you're a former Clinton advisor. We know why you're asking that.
Right.
Yep. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. I think the president's supposed to officially announce his campaign tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so all I have to say is he's got all the ammunition and he has the infrastructure.
Yeah, he announced June 15th. We were talking about it earlier. He announced June 15th in 2015, which, I don't know. I mean, in today's world, compared to the Democrats, that would be a little bit late. And you look at where he is now, of course. The official announcement is just a formality, but it will be also the start of a new energy, and hopefully you'll see that forward-moving energy that is consistent with a message that also doesn't diminish the impact that the president himself as a person has on it, because that persona, I think, is very important in carrying that energy. That's how it is delivered. But it has to be, I think, really streamlined, again, as we were mentioning, and consistent. It's one thing to be the underdog when you're an outsider coming into Washington. You're no longer an outsider. You kind of are. Think about this. Right. This president is still kind of an outsider, and he can use that to some extent, I think. But the messages have to be clear, concise, deliberate, and consistent all the way through.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley, 866-90-RED-EYE. Did I say that already?
Okay. I don't know.
I'm being redundant.
I don't listen to the show.
All right, so I'm just reading here. This came out, was it Thursday, Wednesday of last week, before they actually, you know, drew the lots for the Democrat debate.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from The Week, which is the nation's longest, I believe, running liberal publication.
Mm-hmm.
The Week. So,
right. Okay.
Democrats will hold their first two primary debates on June 26th and 27th in Miami, and so far they're shaping up to be a total fiasco. There are now 24 declared candidates seeking to cashier President Trump, almost enough for a full Major League Baseball roster, and the flimsy standards the party set to get a slot on the stage will be met by almost all of them instead of substantive debates between the leading candidates. The party is going to get a chorus line of never going to be presidents yapping at each other for 2 hours. Most of these people have no chance of becoming the nominee. They know it. The Democratic National Committee knows it. And the top tier candidates know it too. The debate should be structured as such rather than cattle call auditions for The Voice.
Wow.
It's understandable after the unity-destroying train wreck of the 2016 primary. The DNC didn't want to appear to be needlessly excluding particular candidates so early in the process. But their rules for making the first two rounds of the debate in June and July made it so everybody could make it, is basically what they're saying. The DNC announced that no more than 20 candidates would make the first debate, and they got their 20. The rules are so lenient that the DNC will have to apply controversial tiebreaker rules just to keep it at 20, rather than the varsity junior varsity structure of the early 2016 GOP debates. Candidates will be randomly assigned to one of the two 10-person shows. We know now already that Biden, Sanders, Buttigieg, and Harris will be on the second night. Elizabeth Warren is in with all the junior varsity people. She has to be ticked off.
She's at the kids' table. You and I were having the back and forth about this at the, during the top of the hour mid-show meeting. And, you know, it's because it's hard to get into the mindset of somebody who doesn't, who's putting out all these ideas that are obviously not driven by logic. You're right. She's, well, first of all, you're not going to get the attention the others will be getting, because the first night debate is going to have the news run of the next day. Okay. The second will have some the following day, but it's not going to be the same. It's going to look like it's a repeat of the previous day to the consumer, to the average news consumer. Anybody paying attention that didn't see the debate is really going to get a lot more out of that news cycle the following day from the first debate.
Well, the first debate is a junior varsity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought they were back. I thought they were.
No,
okay.
From what I know, it's the second night that that they're on.
Okay.
Look, I
thought it was the other way around.
I think that I think that the Biden look. Here's again. We're trying to look at it from how Democrats look at it. It's their primary.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I can't look at it. I want to look at it from the from my point of view, but I'm not voting in the Democrat primary, and I'm not in the Democrat primary, but when I look at this as any of those, Harris, for example, wants a shot to hit Biden and Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Buttigieg wants to be on the same stage as Biden and Sanders.
Right.
Elizabeth Warren, who has been moving up in the polls, this is her chance.
Right. Sure.
And the fact is, the momentum will be with that person that makes the best, and I say one-liner, against Biden or Sanders. And that has to come from Harris or Buttigieg. It doesn't matter if it comes, I don't believe if it comes from anybody else.
Well, okay, so a couple of things work in her favor. Maybe, I don't know, that she believes this way. Big fish, little pond. There could be more attention to her because she is on the rise in the polls. And, of course, if it is the first night, that second day, she gets all the day after, she gets all the sound bites. Well, maybe, but she doesn't. It depends on what's said.
But there's no sound bites against you. You're looking at it, again, as a Democrat looks at it,
mm-hmm.
what you wish to do for because remember, half the Democrats aren't for Biden and aren't for Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
And so they roughly make up 50% of the vote. The other 50% is split. So
yeah.
What you want is that liberal, which, look, what's the difference? Honestly, what's the difference between a Harris, a Harris, a Buttigieg, and a Warren?
Mm-hmm.
Not much.
Well, and keep in mind, the sound bites aren't going to be of what she says against somebody on stage. It's going to be what she says against Trump.
Yeah, but in the primary, you want to attack the person on the stage.
Plenty of time for that. I don't think the liberal media is going to care about that. That will be part of it. But keep in mind, it's driven by the hatred for Trump. It's not just running against him.
You're not running against Trump at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that Trump isn't a part of it.
Yeah.
But in that debate, in that debate, you're attempting to differentiate yourself and tell the Democrats why they should vote for you over Biden or Sanders, because
that's the purpose of the debate you're trying
to eat those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, I can guarantee Warren's campaign is ticked off. They want to be, they look at it and say, my God, we've been moving up.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been moving up, why? Because we've been able to differentiate ourselves. What, between Julian Castro and Hickenlooper?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, we've been able to differentiate ourselves and promote the fact that we're not one of the two lead white guys there. We're not part of the establishment. And she has the opportunity as a woman to do that. And who's the only woman that is really the a power base right now? And that would be Harris. She's got the chance to do it, and Warren doesn't. And you want that momentum from the first debate on if you can get it.
Sure. Again, I think, you know, we go back to Bernie, you know, basically handing the debate to Hillary. Nobody cares about your damn email. I mean, that's
he may hand it to her.
Again, you have to think about what opportunity there is, because I don't think there is all of those ideas. None of the ideas are new coming from any of them. No. None of them are new. So a lot of this is going to be about trying to project this image that you can beat Trump.
Right. I can do a better job, though, than Biden or Sanders.
Yes.
Beating Trump.
Sure. That's and which is a given, but you first have to reestablish your hatred for Trump. I think that's a huge part of it.
Right. But so. But you always wish to be with the now the one thing going for her is this is the end of June.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's starting vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, even in the north, everybody, right, I believe this weekend will be the last weekend that everybody, I know, for example, in New York, and this is the last weekend of school, and then everybody begins their vacation now. In the south, a lot of people, the schools have been off for a couple of weeks, but in the north and in some other places around the country, that's where I grew up, so I know, it starts today. So will people be in the mood to even be watching this on a Thursday or a Friday night?
Well, first of all, just the structuring of the debates, the fact that they had to split it into two is ridiculous.
Well, but even in the Republican debate, you knew which one you had to pay attention to. The first mm-hmm. one, which was the junior varsity, it was like, okay, a little mm-hmm. bit here. Mm-hmm. But it was really when you dealt with the top 10 that people started being concerned. Remember now, they believe that for all the questions that any candidate is asked, the maximum time that any candidate might get to answer all the questions are asked is 10 minutes. And that's not for one
combined
question.
That's combined.
Yes, combined.
And we pointed this out. How do you effectively get that? It's really going to be about the soundbite.
And remember,
how do you effectively survive that, those types of debates, because there's no way to actually make that effective in terms of a debate. So it's all about the sound bites they're going to be, you know, trying to get across and hope that they get coverage based on that and energy based on that the following day. But all of that falls away when 2 weeks down the road, the next debate, or whatever it is, I mean, months down the road, the other debates, and then, of course, Iowa next year, all of it falls away. This is basically the handshake, the official handshake from all of them, the collective pool of candidates with the voter base. But it doesn't really do anything.
Including time, this is from The Week again, the article from The Week, including time for the moderators and commercial breaks, no one will even crack the 10 minutes of speaking time. That's not enough for Julian Castro or John Hickenlooper
right.
to distinguish themselves from the front runners, which raises a question, why are they up there in the first place?
Why do you do it?
Why do you even
construct a debate like that if you're the DNC? Why do you allow that?
Well, the Democrat or the Republicans did. I mean, they had 10 in one and 8 in the other,
right.
I believe, because they had 18 at one time.
Right, and we asked the question then.
Right.
I mean, what good are you doing if these? I mean, it's basically kind of the participation trophy approach to a debate. Okay, fine. Everybody get up on stage. Well, that has to be pared down at some point to have an actual debate, if they really want to have one. I suspect Biden doesn't want to be on a debate stage at all. I suspect he doesn't want to be in front of the media.
Well, you know what I think they should do, you don't pay attention to the polls. You do your own internal polls as mm-hmm. a party, and you say the top five is who we put in.
Look, here's
because
the thing.
Look at it. You have, I'm looking at the national polls, the average, and mm-hmm. their internal polls would show the same thing. because this is the RCP average. Biden 32, Sanders 16, Warren 11, Buttigieg 7, Harris 6, O'Rourke 3. Mm-hmm. So you sit there and you say, okay, we go to only people that have over 5%.
Right.
And so it would be one Biden, Sanders, Warren, Buttigieg, and Harris. Mm-hmm. Those are the top five in the polls. Those are the ones that we start with the debate. Sorry, if you cannot poll over 5%, you know, and you do your own internal polling, so you can't dispute and say, well, those are polls done by other people, or we're not going to go by a Fox News poll. You do your own internal polling. You say your own internal polling shows this, and you're open and transparent to the candidates about it. Here's how we're doing it. Mm-hmm. And if one of them complains, fine. But you can't have, I love it because it's going to be a zoo, but I, if it was my political party, I'd say, nope, I want it much more focused even from the beginning.
You look at the overall impact of the debates, and there is some impact, but the greater impact right now is social media. That's where you do your stumping. That's where you gain energy. It's exactly how AOC got elected, actually. That kind of campaigning is what is paramount. The debates, you're more and more, you're competing for the attention in anything. In any broadcast, whether it's sports or anything else, the attention span of any given viewer right now in our society has dwindled greatly. So you look at this, and if they're not even going to break 10 minutes each collectively or totally on their speaking time, then what are you doing?
Well, and if you look at it, because I know some would complain, well, wait a minute, I'm polling higher in Iowa, I'm polling higher in New Hampshire, mm-hmm. and those are the first ones, and I should be able to get a chance. But if you look at this, national, Iowa, New Hampshire, the RCP poll averages, top five, all the same. Nobody over 5%, except Harris, Buttigieg, Warren, Sanders, and Biden, whether it's national, Iowa, or New Hampshire, mm-hmm. in the RCP across the board poll averages.
Right. So there's your debate. There's your debate.
So you really can't sit there and, I mean, because the next one will really be O'Rourke, and he's at 3.6 national, 4.4 in Iowa, and 3 in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if their campaign complains, fine. Now, the only point they're going to make is Trump at this time and the Republican was only at a 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so a 1 can still win. And it's so early out.
Yeah. Again, no, that's which goes back to the handshake. It's almost like it's an obligation here.
Right.
They feel obligated. Okay, fine.
It makes us seem fair, and then we're going to get tougher as we go along.
Right. But it does nothing.
Yeah. But by September, you can't have, in August, you can't have 10 people.
The trade-off, the quid pro quo here is that for those of them, you know, except for the 9 that are still polling at 0, you're looking at the end of it all to have them at the convention. You treat them fairly and then hope that summer of next year they're there for you and they bring the, you know, 2 or 3 people that were supporting them.
I can't wait for the Howard Schultz debate with himself.
Yeah, he's all probably right. Already having it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I really think if I'm a Democrat, Eric, if I'm in the debate, you know, on the Biden stage, I'm not even worrying about Sanders. I'm going after Biden.
Right.
That's who I want. My attacks would be at Biden because I think that if I attack Biden, if I'm one of the Democrat candidates who attack Biden, I think I can make him produce a huge gaffe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
That would be my only. If I'm a to put out, if I was a Democrat consultant right now for Warren or Buttigieg or Harris, who are in the top five, you know, and or maybe even O'Rourke, I would sit there and I would say we need to do whatever we can to needle Biden because Biden will say stupid things, and we need to do whatever we can to get him to respond to us by saying something stupid.
It there is a decent chance it's gonna happen on its own, but you, yes. But yes, the whole idea is to get him up against those proverbial ropes, and he would be, of course, off his message. And what is his message?
He's going to cure cancer.
Yes, or anything and everything. Right. I mean, it is his version. I think he's going for the hope and change, which is not going to happen for him. This whole painting of this or allowing of this blank canvas in each individual's mind to hope for everything, to, first of all, hope that he can beat Trump. But beyond that, anything and everything. And yes, cure cancer, which tops everything. Right. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be off kilter anyway. And I think that's a good strategy to keep that going if you're on stage with them. Here's your forecast.
A beautiful temperature landscape across the country as we enter the last week of spring 2019. We won't see the real hot weather in the west now. It'll get up to the 110s down in places like New Mexico and Arizona, the desert southwest of Southern California. But by and large, the west will see more seasonably mild temperatures today. A scattering of 90s extend from the Tennessee Valley into the deep south. Portions of southern Texas will also reach the double digits. For the most part, the West Central Plains on through the Midwest and up through the Northeast will be in the mid-70s to mid-80s for daytime highs today. Heavy showers will persist in the Central Plains from Oklahoma and Kansas into Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, then on up through PA. Clear on 95 from the Carolinas to Florida. I-5 in the West will be rain-free. The National Forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
That never stops. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Carley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Welcome and good morning. Thanks so much for being here. No, I agree with you on that because you're talking about, why would Trump ever? Stephanopoulos is a former Clinton aide. He's not a journalist.
No, he's not. And you know that going right. in. Why would you agree to that?
He knows the questions that he's going to ask. You don't. The president is not good ad lib.
Right. And this is what everything that it's funny sometimes during our breaks, because you and I are always reading, and I was going over parts of the transcript, and I watched part of the video of it, and I said to you, all right, you got Clintonopoulos here sitting in front of you. He knows what he's going to do. He has built the traps along the way. I don't have a problem with fair questions, but you need to know how to answer the ones that are going to come at you. You know where they're going with this, but why would you even sit down in front of a Clintonopoulos anyway? Why would you? Here's the guy that I don't know. He probably has daily text messages going back and forth with Hillary still today. So why would you agree to do that? But if you're going to, there's very clear and concise answers to questions and you move on. And the question was, do you have a fear of being prosecuted when you leave office? No, I've committed no crimes. I've committed no crimes. And you repeat that and you say, I've committed no crimes. There were no crimes and we need to move on. The investigation was done. It was a very long investigation and it's over. It's over, George. So what else would you like to discuss? I have no fear of that whatsoever.
Right.
None.
And when he was asked about, would he accept, information from a foreign source?
Yeah.
Say, right. Look, you're trying to stay on the same thing.
Right. You're trying to rebuild it all over again. And I didn't went nowhere the first time.
Went nowhere the first time.
Stop with the fake news.
I didn't do anything.
Right.
You're attempting to create fake news.
Mm-hmm.
I think, George, you should look at what happened during the campaign of the Hillary campaign, your former boss's wife,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that they paid money to get Russian dirt on me.
Right.
To ask me a hypothetical when I've done nothing and not address the real cause, that's the fake news, George.
You're trying to recreate
news. But those are the prepared answers that you work at over and over again. Instead, the president goes off on a tangent, and that's why he should not do these types of interviews, because he had a backtrack. By Friday, he had a backtrack, shift gears, saying, of course he'd go to the FBI and Attorney General if a foreign power offered him dirt about an opponent. You should have never gotten to that point.
Yeah.
That shouldn't have been something that went on for 3 or 4 days being pounded at the American people. You should have used that to your advantage, because all the truth is to your advantage. It was the other campaign that was colluding with the Russians.
Well, here's the thing. It would have been really, I would have, because if I were asked the question, I would say, really? So now we're going to have hypothetical fake news. Is that where you guys are going? Because that's fake news. That's double fake news. Get over it. The investigation is over. Can we move on? It's time to move on. I know you guys don't want to, but there's nothing there. Let's move on, because hypotheticals have no place. I'm not going to answer that question, but the basis of the question is that it's a hypothetical fake news question.
Does anybody tell that to the president? Look, to say something, then have to retract it a few days later on something that is meaningless, you could have used to your own advantage if you would have answered this way. It's why you shouldn't do interviews with the George Stephanopoulos.
Yes.
And if you do, that there are prepared answers, and you understand that once they ask this question, you need to respond this way. And also, but look, it's about things that are meaningless, but are also, it's about things that have a lot of meaning.
Sure.
It's his back and forth on tariffs. They're wonderful one day, and I'm taking them off the next day. This president doesn't need to give mixed messages, but it is something inside of him that he has never been able to stop. And you have to understand that there comes a point when he is still partly with his base an outsider.
Right, yes.
But to a significant portion of people, he is the president of the United States. Not that you cannot run an effective campaign and still not troll, because he can troll effectively, and he has had his successes in trolling. But the fact is, sort of like Dad said, if you're in business or you're in politics, be right 100% of the time, which means you don't say anything unless you know you can destroy them.
Right. Yes.
And that's what you do. You destroy them every time. That you could, Stephanopoulos, you could have eaten his lunch. You could have destroyed him. Right. You could have satisfied your base, and at the same time had every independent out there going, you know, he's making a great point.
Mm-hmm.
He's making, you know, it is fake news, because he didn't do anything. There was no collusion. And now they're asking him hypothetically if he would collude. Well, he came back strong and said, you're asking me, now this is hypothetical fake news. You're asking me a hypothetical when the other campaign actually colluded, and you guys don't seem to be concerned with that at all.
Right.
Well, Mr. President, you'd like to ask me a hypothetical. No, I suggest you do that. I'm sick and tired of asking your fake news questions.
Right. Go do an in-depth interview with Hillary and the DNC.
Right. And so on the tariffs, where they're great, they're wonderful. He said it again this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so great. We're getting money from the China. He knows he's not telling the truth. He knows they are negative. Everybody knows they're negative.
And it's not money from the Chinese.
It's and that's the other thing, too. You're telling the consumers and the farmers, oh, this isn't affecting us at all. It's great. We're getting money from the Chinese. The farmers are like, what are you talking about? We're hurting. Don't do that. Don't say something is great. People, Mr. President, people aren't stupid. Don't treat them like Democrats treat their most loyal supporters. Don't treat them as if they're idiots. And the fact is, you don't need to. They're behind you.
Right. I mean, it's insane. And look, if you're new to the program and you're just tuning in and you're a Trump supporter, you need to know we want him to win next year.
Well, that's a frustration. Yeah, that's a frustration because there is no other choice. As we said before, the other side the other side and their ideas are insane. The ideas that they propose, I was just looking at it now. You know, there's Biden out there. Yes, I believe the women's soccer players should be paid more.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares
it's
about
insane.
What nobody cares. Buttigieg. Now he's going to come out on Wednesday and support men being able to play women's sports. These are the kind of things that they're insane. They're talking about stuff that nobody cares about, and the stuff that they talk about, like whether it's open borders, which they believe in, the vast majority believe in open borders. O'Rourke separated himself from Julian Castro, saying, well, no, I don't think, because Julian Castro came out and said he believes that that it should be dropped, that it's a crime to cross the border, which means you're for open borders at
that
point.
Right.
And he wouldn't answer the question with Jake Tapper over and over again, and finally he said, well, no, I disagree with him.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, because
we can't, you know, and because he was trying to make the point, but he doesn't. He wants open borders.
Right.
That
right.
He was lying. But the open borders, boys playing girl sports legally, a man can say he's a woman at any time. I mean, that's the insanity that you're getting from the left. It's absolutely insane the things that they believe.
And that's where you redirect. You not only dismiss the basis of the question. You redirect in an interview and you say, listen, George, I'm going to do the work of the American people. I'm going to do what I promised to do. I'm going to keep going here with this. And when I'm out of office, everything's going to be great. I have no fear at all. And by the way, what did you expect me to say? Yes, I'm really fearful. I'm going to be indicted. George, think about what you're asking. What I'm going to be doing, what I'm focused on right now, what I fear, George, is that our borders are open and that there are more and more of the liberals that are pushing for open borders. And the American people are with me on securing the borders. And I can't get a dime from Congress to secure them with a wall. That's what I fear.
Right. And you're asking me hypotheticals. Instead of looking at the problems that we have, that's why I call it fake news, George. Because you people are concerned with anything that might be hypothetical about me.
You're worried about me. I'm worried about this country. You guys keep focusing on one person. I'm worried about hundreds of millions. Yeah. Get it?
It's no concern of yours whether I'm worried or not.
Yeah. Like you care.
Yeah.
Are you concerned, George, that I'm worried? Are you?
Yeah. You could eat these reporters lunch, because they're not reporters. They're activists.
Right.
You could tear them apart. You've got to sit, you've got to plan, you've got to know what questions are going to ask, you have to be prepared for it, and you got to be better at ad-libbing. Sorry.
Yes.
Or don't do the interviews.
At the very least, don't engage.
Yes.
Very simple, concise answers. No.
Look, you said it a long time ago, and I still say it. That's why we went through the polling and said, look, the polling's ridiculous. This is still this president's election to lose.
It is. Stay on point. Don't engage. You know where they're going, and all they're trying to do is get you up against the proverbial ropes, and you can't allow that, and you do it. You do it too often.
The American people, if you explain on a consistent basis with common sense and critical thinking everything that you believe, the vast majority of Americans agree with President Trump on the actual issues.
Right.
It's how you frame the issues. It's your tone. It's how you frame it.
Yep.
It's framing it not as an outsider anymore, but as the leader, as the president of the United States.
Yes.
They expect to hear it framed that way. Do it.
Right.
You have the capability of doing it. Do it.
Yep.
Own. And you have unlimited money to get the spokespeople out there that if the two idiots overnight can figure out how to do it with $0... Well, that's your paycheck.
Wait a minute.
But that's
when did you look at my paycheck?
Look, our point is it's not that hard. And it gets frustrating because we want the president to win. We don't believe there's another choice. But we do believe the president is vulnerable. Yes. Understand don't ignore, they didn't even ignore the polls. They admitted the polls even for March were true.
Mm-hmm.
Do not believe anything.
Right.
Believe you're the underdog. Approach it as if you're the underdog. You know you're not the underdog on the issues, though.
You go back to those issues. You redirect all those stupid, meaningless questions. You dismiss them and you walk right back. Here's what I'm concerned about. Here's what I worry. Here's what keeps me awake, George. If you really are concerned about what keeps me awake, it's this.
Right. Not just to keep me awake. Here's what keeps me awake.
Yes.
Boom. Just like that.
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
He's Eric Cronin, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
What do you got? What do you got? The
president says he will roll out a new health care plan in the next couple of months.
All right. Okay. All right. I think we...
I said, because I have no idea where he's going on it.
Yeah.
It could be great.
It could be. The question is... Yeah, no. It's funny. You kind of left that hanging there.
It could be great
or not.
I didn't continue. Is that giving both sides of it by just leaving that hanging?
You know, it's we go back to the 2016, eliminate Obamacare. They didn't get it done primarily because the voter base didn't want a lot of the benefits of the good things of Obamacare. By the way, I'm still kind of going through my mind of what those would be ultimately long term. But
well, here's what
they couldn't
said.
Change it.
We're going to produce a phenomenal health care. We already have the concept of the plan.
Okay.
I have no idea what that concept is.
I have no idea.
I'm being serious. I'm not being sarcastic. I don't know if the Republicans have a plan it is.
All right. So his daughter is someone that has his ear a lot. We also know that late in the game, relatively speaking, that the candidate Trump was still talking about entertaining the idea of single payer. So I don't put anything out of the I don't take anything off the list of possibilities here by the president. I don't think he's going to go single payer because I think that sounds too much like Bernie. But I don't know where you go because you're still talking about, regardless of what you're talking about, when the government, federal government, starts talking about health care. For us, there were a couple things a few weeks ago. Let's have more transparency in pricing. But that went a little further. They were talking about, we want to know what your costs are for pharmaceutical companies, mm-hmm. of what it takes, research and development along the way. If it's transparency in pricing, that kind of private sector free market approach, then we might be on board for it. But anything else where we're spending a ton of money, yeah, I'm not on board.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.